This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Danny is out sick today, but the show goes on. One day ahead of opening day, it's Grant and Danny on the Fan out and about at Lost Rhino Brew Pub in Ashburn. Come on out and spend the day with us. Tressway of the Commanders is on site right now, and Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler, the voices of Nats baseball here on the Fan, stop by at 5 for our season preview. One day ahead of the start of a brand new campaign, the show is brought to you today and every day by our friends, the law firm Condori and Murad. They will help you do all the important stuff you need to do, like put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. But on the Rude Guest Hotline right now, we've got a congratulations in order for our friend Jacob Chikrin of the Washington Capitals. The boys got a point last night in Winnipeg and a loss in overtime. But the big story for the Caps was the new extension for Chikrin, who is going to be the face of Caps hockey for years to come. Jacob, I was chanting 4 more years a month ago when we had you on. I should have said 8 more years. An 8-year extension for Jacob Chikrin. Congratulations, man.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, it's definitely been a very exciting and happy, you know, last few days for, you know, myself and my family. So, yeah, we appreciate it a lot. Thank you.
Trusted Insight from Trusted Insiders make this segment possible. IT Cadre, our sponsor for Jacob Chikrin, where DC Sports Insiders share their exclusive perspective. So, Jacob, how did this come together and how involved were you? Or do you just tell your agent, call me when I got to sign something, like, especially in season? Something where he was giving you constant updates? Was it in any way on your mind as you were playing this season?
We started talks quite early in the season, and luckily it was pretty slow for the last, you know, number of months, and so it made it easier on me because I wasn't, you know, talking with my agent about it at all, really. So it was nice because, you know, wasn't on the top of my mind. I was able to just go play and try to take care of business. And then it really picked up the last 3 or 4 days and just pretty much got finished in a few days after sort of a pretty long and slow process most of the season. So it really worked out perfectly in that sense, and I'm glad it got done. You know, especially before the end of the season here. So it's nice to go in and into playoffs and, you know, have that over with and be able to just enjoy the ride and do everything we can to win this year.
Jacob, this is Tress Way with the Commanders. Me and my little man, well, my wife as well, our family, but me and my little man love coming out to the games and watching you guys. I have a question for you, dude. So talking with the family, do you have the green light to do something, you know, like super selfish that you just get to treat yourself a little bit with the contract? Because I know for me, I was just starting to get the itch to golf. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go get some just custom fit golf clubs.
Oh,
because I want them. Dadgummit, I want them. So do you have something where it's just like, you know what, this is me, and I'm going to have a little me time and treat myself?
That's a great question. I'm not really there yet.
yeah, it's season. That's fair.
Yeah, I'm not quite there yet, but, I mean, gosh, like you, I do love golf. I'm a big golfer, so I don't know. I think maybe one thing I'd like to do now that, you know, we're locked in would honestly be to probably join a golf course in the area. And yeah, that's kind of one thing that I, you know, have circled on the list. But, you know, my wife and I, we try to do a good job of not overspending. I mean, you know, we're just pretty simple and homey people, and we don't like to you know, go crazy with our spending. So we definitely have our months, but you know, we try to do a good job. We actually bought a new car, you know, a few weeks ago. We had a Tesla for a while that we've wanted to get rid of. We're pretty big, you know, as you guys know, we talk about our health and wellness a lot. We just had the weird feeling about sitting on a battery all day in the car. So we wanted to get rid of the Tesla, move on from the electric. And we ended up, I got my wife sort of her dream car, which was a G-Wagon. So she lucked out already. So I hope she's not going to be asking for anything post-contract here.
if you end up doing the golf route as a punter, you know, I thought it was my duty as a stereotype to live up to that stereotype to, you know, thoroughly enjoy golfing. If you find yourself ever needing a fourth, you know, I'm just a quick 30, 40 minutes away. Just, you know, shoot the invite and I'll be there in a heartbeat, my friend.
I love it, man. I love it. Got to get your number here. We'll set something up for sure.
We'll exchange numbers. I will say, and Tress, I don't mean to throw the football players under the bus because I'm sure you guys have some unbelievable golfers too.
Oh, I heard about the hockey guys.
Dude, I have found hockey dudes. Just, oh, yeah. They hit bombs.
Yes. Like, dude, think about the rotation. They're just.
Is that a thing, Jacob, where like the something to do with the swing of the stick is comparable, or why is that? That hockey players, I see like Osh and Carlson and some of these dudes at pro-ams.
Well, you got to think they're in the cold. They're inside in the cold all the time. Wouldn't you just want to go out and get some sunlight and be on some green grass and play some freaking golf?
And like, that's home. I mean, you're a Florida guy, Jacob. So you grew up golfing, probably.
No, for sure. I think there's a lot of similarities. Like a lot of our sport is hand-eye coordination and, you know, you're always working on your hands and stick handling, and the game's so skilled now. Like the amount of skill guys play with is incredible, and it's all you know, stick and puck skill. So it's all stuff that, you know, you're constantly working on your hands and your touch and your finesse, and I think it just translates super well. And then, you know, you add in the slap shot, and, you know, I think just there's just a lot of similarities. So we probably, you know, do get away with a little bit. You know, more feel. I think, you know, there's definitely a lot of hockey guys who I've played with. You know, there's a ton of really, really good golfers. I mean, you know, I don't want to brag. I think my best handicap I got to is a 1.7, and I that were in the pool. So we got a lot of great golfers, and it's something we enjoy doing for sure in the offseason. That's it.
Well, we were just talking about how, like, that was the most humble brag ever. You weren't trying to brag, but basically a scratch golfer is pretty amazing. So I'll put both of you on the spot then. We can start with you, Tress.
Yes.
Because I've been putting you on the spot way longer than Chikrin's new to the show.
That's fine.
I've known you since, you know, 2012.
14.
Right. Best and worst golfer on your team, as best as you know.
So I am technically the best, but Tyler Otter, our long snapper, has beat me the last two times. So I'm going to go ahead and give
him
the
nod. What's your handicap?
I'm a 3.
Oh, you're really good.
He's a 4 or 5, but he's beat me the last two times. And the worst golfer? I'd feel bad saying, but it's got to be one of the O-linemen.
What does it rhyme with?
I love him, but it's the O-linemen. They're a great time to be with, but I love my man Allegretti. Great hang.
Nick Allegretti's a hell of a hang.
A hell of a hang.
Yeah.
Not an awesome
golfer. It's like the X and Y axis, where X is hang and Y axis is like good at golf. He's in like the bottom right quadrant, essentially. All right, so O-line can't really hang. But by the way, you should go golf with Chychrun if you're a 3 handicap.
Well, yes, but like most importantly, like it would just be fun to go golf with these guys.
That's true.
That's my thing is that so when I go out and golf, I hope I shoot the best I've ever shot. I just also want to have a fun time. Like,
right.
Like let's go out and
drink a beer.
Have a beer.
Enjoy the sunlight.
Play some music. Play. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You got to unwind and enjoy it. Although, speaking of O-line, we just played with Andrew Whitworth in L.A. when we were there a couple weeks ago. And this guy's a player. He can really hit the ball. I think he's
how long are his clubs?
I don't know. He's probably like a – gosh, what is he? He's a low single digit. He's probably like three to five, I'd say.
Very cool.
And he still looks like he could play. I mean, this guy's a stud. But yeah, I think the worst on our team is either O or Sonny Milano.
Milano's
really
Ovi does a lot of things well. That does not surprise me. Although you know the story of his hole in one, like one of the first times he ever played golf.
Hilarious.
He has a hole in one,
dude. All the time.
I'm not joking. I'll send you the video tonight. It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. He has no idea what he's doing. I mean, Chychrun, you could tell it better than me, probably. His swing is awful. Like everything is terrible. And then the ball goes in, and he loses his mind.
Yeah. And he could barely speak English at the time. It's so funny.
It was so good. So I know you're a huge Caps fan. You get to a lot of games.
Oh, yeah.
I'd imagine, Jacob, just being, you know, it's not like a lot of the guys we have on from Canada or whatever. I mean, you had to grow up loving the NFL, yeah? Do you have a team or do you still follow the league?
Yeah. I mean, we used to share season tickets with a family friend and for the Dolphins. We used to go a lot to the Dolphins games. This was before they had the new stadium. But they were always god-awful. So that was kind of frustrating. And there's a lot of really hot days where we'd leave like at halftime when they're down, you know, 24 rips. So.
But the old stadium, I guess, didn't have the pool in it like the new one does.
No.
I couldn't believe that. When I went to that new stadium, you probably were too busy to notice this, but there's actually people swimming and like enjoy. I'm like, you're at a football game, dude.
I didn't know there was a pool there.
Yeah.
It's a sweet stadium, but I didn't know there was a pool.
There's a club in there. There's a pool.
I knew there was a
club. Does anyone care about football? Could we just watch the game, please? It's wild.
Yeah, but I actually grew up going to a big football high school in South Florida, and I was really tight with all the football guys. I mean, you know, for my age, I was always very mature physically and training at a really young age. I actually did weightlifting with the football team, and, you know, the head coach was our teacher, and he was always trying to recruit me, and football was kind of the one thing my pops wouldn't let me do. But just having a lot of buddies who, you know, have gone on to – you know, big football schools, D1 schools, and even the NFL. You know, I ended up getting connected, had a lot of mutuals with Lamar Jackson, and Lamar came to a couple games. He came to the game in South Florida when I was with Arizona, and wore my jersey to the game, and really, really great dude. And I ended up getting pretty tight with Odell Beckham Jr. in Scottsdale. We were both going through an injury together and rehabbing, and we got connected to a mutual guy who looked
I think
after
this
us.
Is him politely telling me I'm not going to get the invite if there's an open fourth with OBJ Lamar and all these
guys. Lamar's definitely not a golfer. I think Odell enjoys golf, but I don't know if he's playing a lot.
I have a feeling his outfits would be wild.
Yeah, I don't think
for
he's
sure.
For
he's
sure. Not dressed
but anyways,
the same way.
I'm a big Lamar guy, so I do love cheering for Baltimore, and I want to see that guy win really bad. But it's hard. It's hard now. Also, you know, I got to cheer for the Commanders, man. The year they had was so exciting, and I'm
got to
pumped yeah. for yeah. them. Yeah.
We're excited to try to see if they can run it back here.
Oh, heck yeah!
Ovi pulls to within 5 of tying Gretzky, 6 of the record last night. So you guys are knocking on the door of history as you get a point in Winnipeg, but. Maybe this is a bad decision by me as the one kind of calling the shots on what to ask. I'm going to skip Ovi to get to this random thing. Dylan Strome was on a podcast the other day I was listening to, and he said that you want to get rid of the light bulbs in your house and replace them with beeswax candles or something like that?
This guy just completely threw me under the bus. We were just chatting in the room the other day. As I mentioned earlier, my wife and I are just big into, you know, living a clean, healthy life. Anyways, I told the boys, like, late the last few nights, fellas, like, you know, after dinner, you know, we love to cook, and after dinner, you know, we clean up and the sun's going down. We like to turn, like, lights off in the house and do no artificial light and just light some candles, and it's been really nice. And, you know, sleeping like a baby when I do
I
that.
I bet it smells good, too.
And then Stromer decided to go on a podcast next week and say, I took every light bulb out of my house.
That's
and now
messed up.
I'm an absolute freak.
That's betrayal.
So there was never a mention of possibly removing light bulbs for the honeybee wax or whatever.
No, he completely sewered me. So now I'm dealing with that. I'm like a walking meme right now. I deleted all my socials, so I can't even see anything. But I got in-laws and I got cousins sending me, you know, screenshots of some of these tweets and posts. Just people all over me for this beeswax candle thing. So yeah.
Well, Jacob, I can't tell you how excited I am, man, that you're going to be here for the long haul. It's been an amazing season. You guys are locked in for, you know, the stretch run here, but really for years to come. You guys are built to be one of the top teams in the East. You'll be a big part of that, and congratulations. We're thrilled for you.
Congrats, dude.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. It was nice chatting today.
You got it. There's Jacob Chychrun of the Capitals, fresh off his 8-year extension. Not too shabby, by the way.
Not too shabby.
To get 72 mil. Locked up. And his teammates, you know this from the locker room, dudes will be dudes.
Yes.
He shows up yesterday in the dressing room. They have changed his number to 72, and they have pinned a $100 bill to his jersey.
Yeah.
Like, they immediately start joning on him right away.
Immediately.
Like, you could joan on me all you want when I get my 72 mil. You know what I'm saying? Please, bring on the jokes.
I was about to say, yeah, that's quite all right.
Tressway has been hanging out with us. A few minutes left with him. Two things I want to cover with you.
Okay.
First, some personal news.
Okay.
The Tressway family, the team that you are forming at home,
yes,
grew by one this offseason.
It grew by one during the season.
During the season,
we.
So wait till you guys hear this story.
This is wild.
I don't know that you've talked about this publicly, but this is pretty amazing.
No, yeah, and it's we're so thankful, and man, just a complete answered prayer, and we are just jacked for right around the time that we clinch the playoffs against the Atlanta Falcons. We get matched for an adoption of a beautiful baby boy. And so we make the playoffs, and we knew that he was born with a heart condition. And in the midst of the playoffs, he ends up having to have heart surgery. I'm going to Tampa playing, like, all
the throwing passes at the link.
all of these different things, and like it's been so fun and so special, like, this off season after such an incredible season. That's what Bree, whenever the NFLPA meetings were announced in Maui, I was just like, hey, you know, like, what do you think? Like, you know, the Brooks man had surgery, like, back in the playoffs, and she's like, we're freaking going to Hawaii. Like, we're going. So we got to have this.
Now?
He's 6 months yesterday. Yeah, and so he is dude's a freaking warrior. He is the bomb. So we took him up whenever I got to re-sign and had him in some Commander's gear, and man, that just a quick little sidebar. For everybody that's been fans of this franchise for a long time and how special things are right now in the midst of this crazy family time that we had, we're a great team about to go to the playoffs, and both AP and DQ were like, get everything set with family, here's your punt days, you come in when you want to and when you need to, and then go. Like, it is just, guys, it is a special place, and things are really moving in an awesome direction. So
I can't believe, even at the very highest levels, right?
Yes.
So I got owners
were texting me and asking about the baby boy. Like,
amazing.
It is unbelievable.
This juxtaposition, not to make it about myself, but this is the only way I can relate to it. Dan Snyder, I'd see him in the hallway. I've known him for 20 years. And he would look away, and if I said hello to him, someone would come up to me later and be like, you shouldn't do that. You know, or whatever, right? I'm sick and can't go to that Lions game.
Yeah.
And Mitch Rales sends me a text asking me how I'm feeling. Sorry you're not here.
No surprise there.
He goes,
yeah,
don't worry. We're going to win today, so you'll get to cover the biggest game of your career next week. Like, the owner. Think about that juxtaposition of just a couple of years.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine as a player.
He's
being nice to me just because he's a nice guy. They actually really care about you guys because you're the players that make the whole thing work.
When the news broke that I had agreed to the terms of a new deal, he texted me immediately. But on the signing, we walk in, and the kids have become a hit. Like, Bo and Harper and Hadley, our oldest three, are old enough to be hilarious and cute and all over the place running, like, I think I'm their third or fourth favorite player on the team behind Terry and Revo and all these guys. And so, like, they had contracts for them to sign. They had, like, their names on them with a contract line, and they signed it. And so Mitch texts me them signing their contract. Not me signing my contract. He texts me my kids signing their contract. He's like, this is what it's all about. I was like,
wow.
Yeah, but I'm the one who gets to play. Like, what about my text? You know?
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we don't have time today because I'm going to say goodbye, but I've got an idea for a bit at some point this offseason with you. You've done some good bits with us in the past. This would be number one. I just don't know if you're willing. I think we should prank Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
You should call him and say you want the number back.
Yes. Love that.
And then the audio is what we play on the air.
Love that. I'm in.
Okay.
My wife had an idea for one. This is a little sneak peek. I'm sure the future rookies aren't listening. She said I should go in for day one of rookie minicamp and be a trainer, like an ankle taper.
And, I think that's really
and
good.
And just hack job, clip toenails, smell feet, do weird stretches.
Just,
And so,
run of them.
Listen, here's the deal. I'm saying it right now on the air. I'm pitching the idea. So if it doesn't go down, it's not on me because I want to do this.
No,
and I got to find out who the draft picks are. And just imagine, like, here's like the foot, and I just go, you must be a draft pick. Like, just. Yeah. And then, like, 2 days later, it's like, hey, what's up, guys? So, I'm the punter.
Yeah.
Like, how's everything?
But, okay, so one, the Commanders, whoever's broadcast ops over there, they have to make that happen.
I think so.
Because you've done, like, the Baker Mayfield dressing up as a.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, one of those things.
Yeah, that was
phenomenal.
This
would be perfect, right? But I'm saying we record it, and for legal reasons, we would have to, on the back end, tell them, you know, yada, yada, yada. But you're calling them, and you're being like, listen, man, I've thought about this a lot, and I've had it. My family and I sat down. I've had a change of heart.
Coming back on a one-year deal.
One-year deal.
Dude, what do you think for just 1 year?
It's my final year.
I could say that. I'd be like, dude, this is it.
Right.
What do you think? Like,
just like I'll take
you could
five.
Have 10. And you could have 10, man. Like, take 10. Just give me 5.
I think that could be really quality.
I'm in.
Audio.
I have nothing to lose from that, so I'm in.
No, but, yeah. Really, what is life about if not skits and bits with your pals, right? Ladies and gentlemen, Tress Way. Longest
Thank
tenured member of the Washington organization. We were saying yesterday there's only 4 guys on the team that played for the Redskins.
That were skins.
At this point.
I know.
How about that?
Yeah.
It's happening quickly. But Tress, one of the good eggs in the National Football League and one of the great punters, not only in team history, but in the league over the last several years. Grant and Danny on the fan. Charlie and Dave previewing the Nats season at 5 o'clock out here at Lost Rhino Brew Pub. Come join us today.
Hitting dingers.
Should be a fun day. How was the IPA, bud? Let me get a grade on that.
That is easy. A 9.2, 9.3.
Ooh, 9.3 from Tressway.
Big hazy, but skewed. I'm a hazy guy. That is
so this
wonderful.
Is your wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Fastball, middle.
Oh, yeah.
You knew what to do with it.
I knew what to do.
Yeah. Hit a dinger. Tress and Grant on the fan.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The show is on the road today. Welcome back. 106.7 The Fan, Grant and Danny. Unfortunately, Danny's still under the weather. But we're being told this will be our final non-Danny day of the week. We're thinking he's going to be on the field with me tomorrow, opening day over at Nationals Park. We'll be on field level for batting practice. So I think it's going to be a really cool show. You guys should check it out, 2 o'clock to 3:30, ahead of Charlie and Dave's pregame and then first pitch tomorrow for our special opening day broadcast during BP from the field. But today we're actually celebrating baseball and the release of a brand new beer at Lost Rhino. It's the Hittin' Dingers Hazy IPA. We've got a season preview show at 5 o'clock through the end of the program tonight with Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They'll be on site, so if you're in the Ashburn area, you want to hear and think about the Nats leading up to tomorrow's opener, and you want to meet the longtime radio voices and legendary broadcasters with the ball club, this is where you got to be this evening from 5 to 6:30 or so. Charlie, Dave, myself, previewing the season, and get yourself the Hidden Dingers Hazy IPA. I will say it's getting rave reviews out here. Tressway was a big fan, put a couple away while we were chatting, and gave it a 9.3, which is a very solid score. Coming up at 4.5 hour, ahead of the Beltway Blitz, I've got DC Defenders tickets for you. We're going to give away a 4-pack to the DC Defenders home opener on Sunday at Audi Field. Now, I was just thinking about this with opening day looming. I think at this point of my sports fandom that even though I would rank football ahead of baseball narrowly in terms of my favorite sports, and it's really, really close, opening day is my favorite day on the sports calendar. I don't think there's another sports day that makes me feel the way opening day does. There are some that are close, probably. Oddly enough, even though I'm not a huge college basketball fan, the Thursday that opens the NCAA tournament is still really, really special. Maybe there's just some nostalgia to that, whether it was, you know, leaving school early or in college, meeting buddies at a bar to just post up and watch games at noon. But even all the way back to when you're a kid, when the tournament kicks off and you filled out your bracket, and back then you've gone to Pizza Hut to get your little NCAA tournament basketball and went to 7-Eleven to get a Mountain Dew or whatever so that you could look at the top and see what school you got and whatever relics you did along the way. I think the tournament on a Thursday this past week still gets me in that same mood. That's why spring's maybe the best time of year for sports. But opening day, I'm just 10 again, man. I'm back in my dad's Oldsmobile Cutlass, driving up 95 to Baltimore to see the Orioles at Camden Yards because the Nats didn't exist. I was joking yesterday or the day before on the show that Sidney Ponson's going to pitch against CC Sabathia, and you're playing the Cleveland Indians, Jay Gibbons in right field. It's cold, and maybe it's going to snow, and he's going to lose a ball in the sky. But I just don't think there's a day for a sports fan where you transcend yourself back to the past like you do on opening day. It's the best. And even though the team is not going to be great, like still this year, the Nats are projected to be better. They're not likely to make the playoffs. It doesn't really dampen the feeling I get on opening day for baseball being back. It alters my offseason excitement. You know, if you're talking about December, January, February, start of spring training, yeah, I'm probably less ramped up for a big year or excited and amped up than a Mets fan or a, you know, Dodgers fan might be that thinks their team can go win a World Series. But when you wake up on opening day and you're going to the ballpark to see your team for the first time in a half year, you still get those butterflies. Every single time I see the field for the first time in a new season, perfectly manicured, lined grass when you're a kid, you imagine growing up and having a yard that looks like it, right? You smell the fryers turned on for the first time. It just takes you back to your youth in a way that I think so few sporting events can. And it's why opening day is always going to be, I think, right there at the top for me. Because while I am elated to open NFL seasons, 12:58 and 57 seconds before the 1 o'clock kick in week one of every NFL year, sitting in my basement if the Commanders aren't home, they're on the road, or being at Landover, Maryland's Northwest Stadium. That's as about as giddy as I can get as a sports fan. I'm thinking about the countdown clock for NFL Red Zone saying, you know, 15 seconds, 14 seconds, right before week one of the NFL season. That's amazing. But there is not a holiday element to it. There's no real celebratory nature to day one of the NFL season like there is opening day in your city. When the whole town kind of becomes about the team and the sport and the ballpark for that day, something we didn't have in D.C. for 34 years. And for my entire childhood, and now we do. And I'm not going to forget that. But it's a treat to be able to get out there tomorrow and to get you guys closer to the day, hopefully. That'll be the job we've got on the air as the Nats kick off a new season against the Philadelphia Phillies. And there is some excitement about this club. I don't want to downplay the fact that they should be a little bit better. But it's interesting to me that they are talking and turning up the faders, it seems like, from an expectation standpoint, as if it's time to go win. It's time to now compete. It's time to stop rebuilding and start trying to get back to the postseason. And that rhetoric, while I love hearing it, I think it's a year early. You know, when I hear the players, and Jake Irvin said it on our show during the gala event, and I saw again yesterday Dylan Cruz, who's a winner, who won it in college at LSU. He's won everywhere he's ever been. He's not here to lose baseball games. He wants to be part of a championship club like he's always been at every level. I hear him and I hear James Wood and others saying, you know, we're going to have a good year. This team's going to win baseball games. We are talented enough and good enough to. I want them to feel that way. I'm just a little surprised that's the messaging from the top down, because I don't know that they added enough to be that team yet. I think they could go, hopefully, from two straight years at 71 wins to 76, 77 wins. That would be a nice step forward. If everything went well, maybe they win 78 games. It's more likely, I think, they're in the 74 to 76 window. But over 500 would be pretty shocking to me. It'd be great. That would be the ultimate triumph, and everyone should throw a party, and let's do that. But the messaging almost seems like what I'm anticipating for after next offseason. And the frustration I have is that with one or two splash acquisitions, had they have added a real legitimate mid-rotation or front-end starting pitcher, had they have gone out and gotten just one 30-home run, 100-RBI type bat, the conversation changes, because now you probably are ready to string together some wins and to be that team that's, as they're talking about, ready to turn the corner as a contender. But I don't necessarily see it for this group this year. I think they'll be fun to watch, and it's going to be exciting to go to the ballpark. And as a Nats fan, I think it'll be a rewarding experience because of the quality of the young talent. You'll get to see James Wood, who's going to be a superstar, and has a chance to eventually hit 40 home runs. You're going to get to watch Dylan Cruz, who's going to be a really, really good big league player. And then day in and day out, I think he's going to do things that really impress people. That I'm happy about. That I'm excited about. There is an ascension happening, but I just think it's probably not this year that they're over 500 and pushing for a wild card spot. Probably a couple of years away, even though the players, when they're talking, seem to think that that's something they're capable of this year. But if you look at the collective in D.C. sports, things are certainly looking up. You know, we just had our buddy Tressway hanging out, who just punted in an NFC championship game. The Capitals are the number one team in the National Hockey League, and Alex Ovechkin is on the verge of immortality, and the Caps are going to possibly win the President's Trophy as the best team in the regular season of 32 clubs in the NHL. The Nationals have come out of the doldrums of the rebuild and are at least now in a position where there's legitimate young talent worth going to the ballpark to see, which 3 years ago wasn't really the case. So that's progressive. That's good. The Wizards are kind of in their own island, I'll say, Tim. You know, how can I put them in this conversation? They exist. And I joke. I mean, their front office is actually doing the right thing and what they should have been doing all along, which is get bad to be good. And hopefully they pick first, and whether it's Cooper Flagg or somebody else, hopefully they hit a home run. They, by the way, got the Alex Saar pick absolutely correct. Because if you look at the other guys taken at the top of the board around him before, in one case, and after, nobody is having a year like Saar's having. So I think even in their case, they're run by the right people. They've got a good front office, and they got a better chance to be really good and meaningfully successful in the next few years than they've had in a long time, as bad as they are. So I'll take where we're at right now in D.C. sports. It feels like we've turned a corner, and the Nats will get their first chance to show that they are as good as they're making it sound like they are and talking as if they are when they play a team that's expected to come out of the NL East as a division champion and, for a lot of people, expected to maybe have a chance at a World Series run in the Philadelphia Phillies. Tomorrow at 4:05, you'll hear the game right here on The Fan. All right, our double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. And at the top of the hour, ahead of the Beltway Blitz, we are going to be giving away a four-pack of tickets to go see the D.C. Defenders in their home opener on Sunday at Audi Field, live from Lost Rhino Brew Pub. You're listening to Grant and Danny. Back live at the Lost Rhino Brew Pub. This is such a great place. Really, really cool vibe for sports fans. They've got their Hit and Dingers IPA that was released today ahead of the baseball season. Come enjoy that and listen to our preview. We get in detail, take out a shovel, dig it into the earth here on the Nationals, starting at 5 o'clock with the voices of Nats baseball, Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler, coming up on Grant and Danny for the final 90 minutes of the show. They'll be on site with us in person, so you can come kick it with them if you'd like to. Again, in Ashburn, Lost Rhino Brew Pub is where we are today. The show's brought to you today and every day by our friends, the law firm Condori and Murrah. They will help you to draft your last will and testament or set up a living trust, put together a medical power of attorney. All the stuff you don't want to talk about, but you got to do. And they make it seamless. Really good dudes, D.C. sports fans. Went to George Mason University in Fairfax. Schedule a consultation with their team, kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. You're going to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. All right, so I saw this story a couple days ago. And I've been wanting to talk about this on the show. And we finally have time to do it. This is one of the most insane things I've ever heard. The first time I saw it, I said, there's no way that happened. But there's new stories and, like, outlets that have interviewed people. And apparently it's a real thing, and I'm not just being duped. And you never really know anymore with, like, all this AI and all of the stuff that floats around on the Internet, what's real and what isn't. But I believe that this actually happened. There was a United Airlines flight that took off and flew for multiple hours, then made a U-turn only to fly back to the original airport, which was on the West Coast. 257 passengers were informed. After a two-hour portion of a flight, the reason that they were going back and landing at the airport was...
This is your captain speaking. Have you noticed we just banked to the left? We're headed back to the airport. I forgot my passport.
Wait, I'm sorry, what did you just say? I thought you just said you forgot your passport. That sounds like a you problem, buddy. This plane will land on whatever runway you put it down on, wherever we're headed, with or without your passport. Now, what you do when we get there, not my business anymore. I'll bet you they won't arrest you. They could probably have someone meet you and walk you through security, or perhaps you don't get to go through security. Maybe you got to sit on the runway for a couple of days. I don't really care. But here's what we're not doing. We will not be turning around and flying back to where we started to then land only to then have someone bring you your passport so that we could start this terrible cross-ocean flight again. That is not what we will be doing.
Sure. So we're going to put the plane down here. It turns out my wife grabbed my passport out of my bag last night. She thought it was something else, so I don't have my passport.
257 passengers screwed. But don't worry, they actually hooked them. I know what you guys are thinking. You're like, oh, come on. They never actually take good care of passengers. This was such an egregious blunder. This was so outrageous from the airline and the pilot that in this case, they actually did do something really, really nice. They gave them a $15 coupon. I would have crumbled up the coupon and thrown it in someone's face. And I'm not even a mean person. Don't give me anything. If you're going to tip me a dollar bill on the $200 table, just walk out. Leave. When you do something like this, it's like the Dumb and Dumber scene. You do something like this and totally redeem yourself. When you forget your passport, I don't know if you need your passport or not, but it seems like the plane's flying without it, so I'll say we don't need it that badly. And you then, after 2 hours, turn around to go back to the airport. 257 people's days, trips, screwed. Don't offer me $15. Just take a bat to my shin. It's easier. I'd rather you come up and hit me in the leg with a baseball bat than offer me $15. What a joke. Now, again, I can't corroborate all of these things. The Internet's a crazy place. But this is everywhere. People are talking about it. There are interviews with people that were supposedly involved with this shebingus. I don't know. So I ask you guys, Ryan, Darius, Toby back in studio. I mean, Clary, what would you do if you're on an airplane? Because by the way, you know when they turn around and they go land, have you ever flown before? It's not like seamlessly someone's just waiting on the the runway and goes, here you go. And he slides open his window. He never slows down the plane. They toss the passport in and they just take off like a Reagan National flyby. No. We're landing.
This is your captain speaking. Turns out I just hit my hours, so I'm going to have to leave the airplane. But don't worry, they'll get a new pilot in here. He's over in Bethesda right now, driving over on the Beltway. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy being screwed one more time.
No to all of that. $15 voucher. Get out of my face.
Okay, so let me start with this. This is ridiculous. This should never happen. But I do think there are some real issues at play here.
Yeah, hey, I am on a plane that is turning around because stupid head doesn't have his passport.
That is an issue.
That's the issue at play.
That is an issue. But there's also another issue. That is a big pain in the butt for the pilot. He's going to have to go through a whole process if he does not have his passport.
Yes,
let's
he will.
Say he will eventually, but I don't really think it's as easy if, another pilot, well, he's going to be flying into London, let's say, and he'll be able to bring it over there, and it's just fine.
No, it's a huge problem for the pilot.
It's a huge problem
for the
pilot.
You're not saying anything wrong. Let me know when you get to the part where it should affect me and 256 other people.
I agree, and they should have made that right. And they did not. A $15 coupon to whatever it was is ridiculous.
Do you know how they should have made it right? When that plane was going this way, they should have let it keep going that way.
They should have.
Until it got to where it was supposed to go down on the ground, and then should have put it down on the ground. And then pilot, who doesn't have his passport, has to go get his passport.
I agree. I think that's what makes most sense.
Get in a canoe and start doing this, buddy. I don't care how you're getting your passport.
I don't know.
I should be on my third drink on my second day in whatever village we're going to by the time you touch your passport. So you're okay with this?
No, I'm not okay with this, but I will. What if there's some legal issue that we, as a common citizen, just do not know about?
Like, give me an example of what you're talking about.
What if
he's not allowed to be flying the plane without?
Exactly. What if that's the case here?
Now he is. Whoops.
I agree. It's stupid. But still, what if there's something in place?
So you're saying
that
there could be a policy where he's not allowed to be flying the plane in international waters without his passport?
Maybe.
Then I'm saying arrest him and jail him.
Yes.
After he lands the plane and I get to go where I'm going.
I agree.
Like, he should serve several years if he needs to. I'll visit him. I'll write him letters. I'll make sure his wife gives him a conjugal visit. We'll do whatever we got to do. I'm going where I'm going. Because I brought my passport like I was supposed to.
I did.
There is a larger story at play here in society, right? At some point, it became okay for everyone to start inconveniencing everybody around them, right? Like, your thing is your thing. The rest of us don't have to deal with your thing. I'm sorry that you don't have a passport. I really am, buddy. That stinks. I'm a nice guy. I'll help you get your passport. If I could drive and go get it, I'll do it. Once we take off and we're 30,000 feet up here, whoa, look down, look over there. Oh, look over there. Oh, we're way up here. Oh, we're in the air. We're flying along. I don't know how airplanes work. It's crazy to me. You get on this airplane, you're 30,000 feet up for 15 hours. It doesn't fall. That's the craziest thing in the world, right? It's amazing. It's stupid. But what's stupider is stopping, turning around, and then going to get a passport. We can't do that.
I agree. You cannot do that. But I'm just saying there might be some legal issues at play, and maybe he had to turn that plane around. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
That's it.
If I'm going with corporate Clary, yeah, right, and he's got to do this, which I'll just never endorse, the $15 voucher should have been $1,500.
I agree. And I would have made that happen.
Maybe $15,000.
That's fair. That's fair.
What an outrageous inconvenience. I mean, that story is one of those where so dumb that it's hard to believe that it was real. Beltway Blitz is next. We're giving away the 4-pack of tickets to see the D.C. Defenders. We are live at Lost Rhino Brew Pub in Ashburn. We'll be here until 6:30. Charlie and Dave talking baseball on site starting at 5 on The Fan.